Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're beginning chapter 10 of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The title of this chapter is Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees. So I'll read the summary for the chapter first. This chapter describes how Krishna broke the twin Arjuna trees from which Nalakuvara and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera, then came out. Nalakuvara and Manigriva were great devotees of Lord Shiva, but because of material opulence, they became so extravagant and senseless that one day they were enjoying with naked girls in a lake and shamelessly walking here and there. Suddenly, Narada Muni passed by, but they were so maddened by their wealth and false prestige that even though they saw Narada Muni was present, they remained naked and were not even ashamed. In other words, because of opulence and false prestige, they lost their sense of common decency. Of course, it is the nature of the material qualities that when one becomes very much opulent in terms of wealth and prestigious position, one loses one's sense of etiquette and does not care about anyone, even a sage like Narada Muni. For such bewildered persons, Ahankara Vimudhatma, who especially deride devotees, the proper punishment is to be again stricken with poverty. The Vedic rules and regulations prescribe how to control the false sense of prestige by practice of yama, niyama, and so on. Tapasa brahmacharyena, shamena cha, damena cha. A poor man can be convinced very easily that the prestige of an opulent position in this material world is temporary, but a rich man cannot. Therefore, Narada Muni set an example by cursing these two persons, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, to become dull and unconscious like trees. This was a fit punishment, but because Krishna is always merciful, even though they were punished, they were fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Therefore, the punishment given by Vaishnavas is not at all punishment. Rather, it is another kind of mercy. By the curse of the Devarshi, Nalakuvara and Manigriva became twin Arjuna trees and remained in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, waiting for the opportunity to see Krishna directly. Lord Krishna, by the desire of his devotee, uprooted these Yamala Arjuna trees, and when Nalakuvara and Manigriva were thus delivered by Krishna after 100 years of the Devas, their old consciousness revived, and they offered Krishna prayers suitable to be offered by demigods. Having thus gotten the opportunity to see Krishna face to face, they understood how merciful Narada Muni was, and therefore they expressed their indebtedness to him and thanked him. Then, after circumambulating the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, they departed for their respective abodes. So now we have the first text in this chapter, which doesn't have a purport. And then there's a double verse, text 2 and 3, which does have a purport. So I will ask Archita Prabhu, how should we handle this? Chant the first of the second two? Okay. All right, so text 1. Sri Raja Vacha Katyatam Bhagavane Ta Tayosha Pasyakaranam Yat Tad Vigarhitam Karma Yena Devarshes Tamaha. Translation. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami, O great and powerful saint, what was the cause of Nalakavara's and Manigriva's having been cursed by Narada Muni? What did they do that was so abominable that even Narada, the great sage, became angry at them? Kindly describe this to me. So now text 2 and 3, will chant text 2 together. Sri Shuka Vacha Rudrasyanu Charao Bhutva Sudripto Dhanadatmajo Kailas Opavane Ramye Mandakinyam Madokatao Sri Shukovacha Rujasanu Charal Bhutva Sudriptao Dhanadatmajao Kailaso Pavane Ramye Mandakinya Madotkatao Sri Shukavacha Rujasyanu Charal Bhutva Sudriptao Dhanadatmajao Kailaso Opavane Ramye Mandakinya Madotkatao Sri Shukavacha Rujasyanu Charal Bhutva Sudriptao Dhanadatmajao Kalaso Pavane Ramye Mandakimya Madotkatao. Sujiptao Dhanadatmajo. Vishagaracha. Shavutva. Jukta Dharada Vajra. Vasupada Neiravye. Vaishnavis, Sri Sukha Vacha, Vajrasana Charubhutva, Sujivtao Dhanadatmajo, Asel Pavanmanye, Akina Vilotavo, Sugavacha, Anatamajam, Kalaso Pavane Ramye, the next verse 3 I'll chant myself. Varuni Madhiram Pitva Madagurni Talochano Sri Janayar Anugaya Bish Cherutu Pushpite Vane. Synonyms: Sri Shuko Vacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami replied, Rudrasya of Lord Shiva, Anacharao, two great devotees or associates, Budva, being elevated to that post, Sudripto, being proud of that position, and their beautiful bodily features. Dhanada Atmajo, the two sons of Kuvera, treasurer of the demigods. Kailasa Upavane, in a small garden attached to Kailas Parvata, the residence of Lord Shiva. Ramye, in a very beautiful place. Mandakinyam, on the river Mandakini. Madhukato, terribly proud and mad. Varunim, a kind of liquor named Varuni. Madhiram, intoxication. Pitva, drinking. Madha Adgurnita Lochano, their eyes rolling with intoxication. Sri Janai, with women. Anugayadvi, vibrating songs sung by them. Cheratuhu, wandered. Pushpite Vane, in a nice flower garden. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, because the two sons of Kuvera had been elevated to the association of Lord Shiva, of which they were very much proud, they were allowed to wander in a garden attached to Kailas Hill on the bank of the Mandakini River. Taking advantage of this, they used to drink a kind of liquor called Varuni, accompanied by women singing after them. They would wander in that garden of flowers, their eyes always rolling in intoxication. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, because the two sons of Kuvera had been elevated to the association of Lord Shiva, of which they were very much proud, they were allowed to wander in a garden attached to Kailas Hill on the bank of the Mandakini River. Taking advantage of this, they used to drink a liquor called Varuni, accompanied by women singing after them. They would wander in that garden of flowers, their eyes always rolling in intoxication. Purport. This verse mentions some of the material advantages afforded to persons associated with or devoted to Lord Shiva. Apart from Lord Shiva, if one is a devotee of any other demigod, one receives some material advantages. People, therefore, become devotees of demigods. This has been pointed out and criticized by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Kamaistaistarhritigyana-prapadyante-nyadevata. Those who are not devotees of Krishna have a taste for women, wine, and so forth, and therefore they have been described as hritigyana, bereft of sense. The Krishna consciousness movement can very easily point out such foolish persons, for they have been indicated in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, where Lord Krishna says, Namam diskritano mudha prapadyanti naradama maya pratigyana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Quote, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me, end quote. Anyone who is not a devotee of Krishna and does not surrender to Krishna must be considered Naradama, the lowest of men, and Dushkriti, one who always commits sinful activities. Thus, there is no difficulty in finding out who is a third class or fourth class man. For one's position can be understood simply by this crucial test. Is he or is he not a devotee of Krishna? Why are the devotees of the demigods greater in number than the Vaishnavas? The answer is given herein. Vaishnavas are not interested in such fourth-class pleasures as wine and women, nor does Krishna allow them such facilities. Only Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Milidanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again, Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, because the two sons of Kuvera had been elevated to the association of Lord Shiva, of which they were very much proud, they were allowed to wander in a garden attached to Kailas Hill on the bank of the Mandakini River. Taking advantage of this, they used to drink a kind of liquor called Varuni, accompanied by women singing after them. They would wander in that garden of flowers, their eyes always rolling in intoxication. So Narada Muni, the great sage, came upon Nalukuvara and Manigriva when they were in that condition. They were intoxicated. They were in the company of young, beautiful women who were, actually, they were all naked and they were singing in this drunken state. So Narada Muni came by and they were not embarrassed at all. They kept on with their activities. They didn't acknowledge his presence. And for that, Narada Muni is going to curse them, you know, to take the form of these twin Arjuna trees. So it's kind of interesting that if we look at the whole history of Narada Muni, he had been in a similar situation himself. In this current Kalpa or day of Brahma, he's the great sage Narada Muni. But in a previous Kalpa or day of Brahma, he was a demigod, a Gandharva in the heavenly planets, and his name was Upabarhana. So previous day of Brahma, previous Kalpa, means a long time ago. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidahu. The Kalpa, or the day of Brahma, is composed of 1,000 cycles of four yugas. You know, there's a cycle of yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. The cycle of 4 years, four yugas, excuse me, lasts for 4,320,000 years. So 1,000 of such cycles is a kalpa or day of Brahma. And that means about 4,320,000,000 years. And then there's a night of Brahma, which lasts also 4,320,000,000 years. And then there's another day, another night. So, you know, we're now in the middle of the current Kalpa or day of Brahma. So in the previous day of Brahma, which is billions and billions of years ago, Narada Muni, the great sage, was a Gandharva, a demigod named Upabarhana. And this is described in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's described that he was very handsome. He was nicely dressed and decorated. He explained that he was very popular with the women in the planet of the Gandharvas. And in his purport to those verses, Srila Prabhupada said Narada Muni in that lifetime as Upabarhana was like a playboy. Very handsome, very wealthy, very talented, a great musician and singer. So he said he was very popular with the Gandharva ladies and the Apsaras. So Narada Muni was actually explaining his previous life to King Yudhisthira. And he said, at that time, I was invited to participate in a Sankirtan event where there was to be chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. The devotees organized the chanting of the names of Vishnu or Krishna. So he was invited to a Sankirtan party, which was organized by the Prajapatis, who were great demigods in charge of populating the universe. So these great demigods were Vaishnavas, and they organized a kirtan party. So Narada Muni came to the kirtan party with his girlfriends, and he just began singing not the Hare Krishna mantra or songs in praise of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. He began chanting prayers to the demigods. Kind of, you know, Srila Prabhupada compared it to, like, you know, somebody coming to a place where there's supposed to be kirtan and singing what Srila Prabhupada called cinema songs, you know, popular songs. So we can imagine, I mean, we have kirtan nights here in the temple, and you can imagine some guy kind of comes in, some handsome guy, well-dressed guy with his girlfriends, and they just start singing the latest pop songs. It wouldn't fit. So it didn't really fit for Upabarhana, the Gandharva, with his girlfriends to be singing these songs to the demigods in an event that was organized by the Prajapatis specifically to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for that offense, Narada Muni in his previous life as Upabarhana was cursed to take birth as a Sudra. So Sudra means low-class person, deprived of wealth generally, and also not very religious. So he took birth as the son of a Sudrani, a Sudra woman, a maidservant. But he had the good fortune to encounter some Vaishnavas. Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Payav Bhakti Lata Beach. You know, the conditioned souls are wandering throughout this universe, going from planet from planet, from body to body. The material universe is kind of an alternate reality, a virtual reality system for souls that aren't fit to exist in the spiritual world. And in the material world, you know, they have to have bodies made of matter that allow them to function in the world of matter. The spiritual body is only good for one thing, loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all it can be used for. So if conditioned souls want to enjoy, try to enjoy material happiness, they need a material body, a vehicle in which they can attempt to do that. And they have to have a place to do it, so therefore there are so many material planets. So the conditioned souls in the cycle of birth and death, samsara, are wandering from body to body, from planet to planet. But if such a soul is fortunate, they will encounter a devotee of the Lord who will give them the opportunity to remember Krishna. Because this material world is it's a dual function alternate reality. It's a place for conditioned souls to forget Krishna and to try to act out their desires to enjoy separately in forgetfulness of God. But it's also an opportunity to remember God, remember Krishna, and learn again to practice devotional service and qualify oneself to go to the spiritual world. So Narada Muni, when he took birth as the son of the Sudrani, the maidservant, got that opportunity because during the rainy season of the year, some Vaishnavas, some wandering saints, stopped at the house where this maidservant was living, and she began to serve them. And her little son, her little boy, Narada Muni at that time, had the opportunity to associate with these wandering Vaishnavas. And they were very kind to the little boy. They gave him some prasadam. He was able to hear them when they were talking about Krishna and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And because of that, he later, after his mother was killed by a snake bite, he went out into the mountains to meditate. And he was successful in his meditation upon the Supreme Lord, and he became illuminated, enlightened. And in his next birth, you know, he became, in this current day of Brahma, this current Kalpa, he became Narada Muni, wandering throughout the universe. Just like he got the opportunity as the son of the maidservant to get the association of a devotee. Here, Nalakuvara and Manigriva are getting the opportunity to associate with a great Vaishnava, Narada Muni, who happened upon them in their fallen condition. You know, it's very difficult for someone who is materially opulent to take up the path of Krishna consciousness. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult for most people. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya pratichetasam vyavasayatmaka buddhir samadau navadhiyate, Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam, if one is attached to material opulence and sense gratification, taya prittachetasam, then their consciousness becomes misguided. Their intelligence is stolen away. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means fixed determination. To become a devotee, one has to have some fixed determination that one is going to, on the positive side, accept what is favorable for advancement in Krishna consciousness, and on the negative side is going to avoid things that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. When we accept initiation, we vow on the positive side to chant the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds each day. And on the negative side, we agree to avoid meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. So to do those positive and negative things, and there are many others as well, but those are the principal ones, to do that requires fixed determination, vyavasayatmaka buddhir. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that if one is attached to material opulence and sense gratification, it is not possible to develop that fixed determination to do what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and avoid what is unfavorable. Samadhau na vidhiyate, this kind of samadhi or fixed consciousness is not really possible. So therefore, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, we see that devotees are not very numerous in the material world. And Krishna also points that out in Bhagavad Gita. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye yatutam api siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvataha. So out of thousands of human beings, one is interested in pursuing the absolute truth. And among those who are interested in pursuing the absolute truth, only a few actually come to the correct conclusion that the absolute truth is personal and that person is the supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So Nalakuvara and Manigriva, these two demigods who were behaving in this way, they got mercy in the form of a curse by Narada Muni. He cursed them to take birth as two trees in Vrindavan. But he also said it would be a blessing because they would eventually get to see face to face Lord Krishna. So that is going on now. We're in that part of the pastime. We've gotten beyond the rope. As Bhrigupati Prabhu was saying, one devotee was asking, how long are we going to be on this rope that's too short? So now we're on to something else, and we're going to be on it for a while. You know, the story of how Nalakuvara and Manigriva were delivered. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very interesting class. My question is, just like Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they were cursed by Narada, but it was simultaneously a blessing. In other words, it wasn't a coincidence that they, you know, came in. They actually got the darshan of Krishna. So in the same way, was it also part of the package that Narada Muni got the association of the Bhaktivedantas? I know by their association he got good instruction and got the inspiration to meditate on Krishna, but did that initially, you know, does the story begin before that? In other words, was it part of the package when like he got, did he get cursed by the Prajapatis to become a, I guess he considered that a curse, so it was part of that curse that he would, at some future point in time, get the good association of the devotees and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, I could speculate, yes, that's definitely possible because ultimately everything is under the control of Krishna and Krishna knows everything about anyone's past and future lives and he's the supreme controller. And, you know, he says in the Bhagavad Gita that he's controlling the wanderings of all living beings. So you could say in theory, yes. Do I have any statement from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu that I could give you that would indicate, well, there is a larger story and that before the soul that is now Narada Muni was Upabarahana, there was something else that happened that where it was predicted that this and that and the other would happen. And, you know, I can't give you that. But in principle, what you're saying is something that could possibly be the explanation. Maybe somebody else has some additional information. As far as the Srimad Bhagavatam goes, it only goes back to Upabarahana. Maybe there's more to the story than that.
It's not explicitly stated that the Prajapatis, when they cursed him to become a Sudra, also, you know, gave him the combined benediction that he, well, you'll be a Sudra, but you will, you know, you'll come in contact with the Bhaktivedantas, like, because that's there in the pastime of Narada Muni.
Yeah, I read over the story in the seventh canto just this morning to refresh my mind about it. And I don't recall in my reading of it that it was explicitly said that the Prajapatis cursed Upabarahana with the idea that you know, he would get the association of the Bhaktivedantas when he was... They just cursed him to become a Sudra. As far as I know, that's what's explicitly stated. Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned about the different births of Narada Muni, how he was a Gandharva, then the son of a maidservant, then Narada Muni. Did you say that this happened all in one day of Brahma?
It happened in the previous day of Brahma.
Because what is there something mentioned about there was a universal devastation, and then he entered in the body of Mahavishnu, and then he came out as Narada Muni or something like that?
That is after he achieved enlightenment. You know, when he was the son of the Sudrani, his mother was killed by a snake bite. And, you know, the Bhaktivedantas, you know, the sages, the Vaishnavas left. So he was left alone. And he went into the forest and the mountains and meditated and achieved enlightenment. And then in the next birth, his next birth was as the son of Lord Brahma in this day of Brahma.
Okay.
The activities of Upabarahana and his life as a Sudrani were in a previous kalpa or day of Brahma. At least that's my understanding. Maybe somebody... Archita, you have something on this point.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very informative class. Just to go back to Bhrigapati's question, does it really matter? Because the soul always has independence. In other words, whether the curse also predicted that you're going to get the opportunity, but what you do with the opportunity is up to you, just like in our case. It's not necessarily that we were all cursed to become, you know, what we are in this lifetime, but we're going to have the opportunity to meet a Bhaktivedanta, the Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. Still, it's up to you what you do with the opportunity. Whether it's the result of a curse or just good luck or whatever, when you come across that Bhaktivedanta, how you react is up to you entirely. You take it or you don't take it, or you take it sometimes and not other times. I mean, still, the free will is there. So Nala Kuvira and Manigriva, when they met Krishna, they could have still been rebellious. But they took advantage of the opportunity. They came to their senses and they did the right thing. Same thing with Upabarahana when he became Narada Muni in his next life. So now in this life, we've had the opportunity to meet a Bhaktivedanta. We've met him. His instructions are there. It's up to us what we do with it. Still, the free will is always there.
Such an annoying. If you still wanted to...
It was about, I have the same question, more or less like Bhrigupati, but another thing that also came up is, since we're talking about Narada Muni's position, are we to consider that it's just a pastime, or can we also ask the question that what is his position? Was he like a sadhana siddha, or is he a nitya siddha?
I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe somebody else does. I seem to recall some things about Narada Muni and Vrindavan, in one of the Goswami literatures, but I can't bring it up in my mind right at this second.
Yeah. Not to mix, maybe, but in reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita from Gopi Paranadans Prabhu, in some of his purpose when he's visiting all the different universes and seeing different sages, different demigods, even had a conversation with Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Prahlad Maharaj, and on. In one of those conversations, he's being refuted by Lord Shiva also, saying, "You're praising me, thinking that I'm the one who has the recipient of mercy from Krishna, but actually I'm not. And by the way, Narada Muni," he said, you know better than me. You are from Vaikuntha. You are one of the Vaikuntha Vasis." So the thought came in my mind, like, in this particular time, this is just maybe like a pastime, and he was a demigod, then he came, he was cursed or whatever, and then he went his way back again. But in other kalpas, do we have any reference? Is he actually just, sadhana siddha, nitya siddha, or how do we know anything about it?
Is Narada Muni listed as one of the Shaktyavesh avatars? I think he is. That much I know. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.